Hello and welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. This is me, Robert Pratton, and you can find me online on Twitter as Rob Pratton. And with me today, I've got Alonso Mayo to talk about his really, really amazing project. It's the Untitled Murder Project 2.0. Hello, Alonso.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for agreeing to come on. So tell us about the project. What's the quick pitch for it?
It is a murder mystery. There's been an affair that kind of ended up with a murder, and pretty much it kind of goes like how typical murder mysteries, you know, somebody's dead, we want to figure out who did it, and the twist is that the audience can choose how they find out who did it. They kind of navigate through the episodes, and you know, they can choose, you know, if they want to start all the way in the back, you know, with the backstory, or just with the latest episode and keep going from there. So we have three main timelines. We have the right now timeline, the hours ago timeline, and the weeks ago timeline, and each one of those kind of has its own journey. And it's organized into five chapters. So it's a slightly different take on the traditional murder mystery film.
I think it's really good. So it's an interactive video. Would you call it a web series?
You know, I've been struggling to figure out what it is. We actually, when we designed it, it was designed to be kind of all out at the same time.
Right.
So it really wasn't when we kind of figured it out. I kind of decided to release it by chapters, just to kind of help us get the word out. But it could be, I guess you could call it a web series, or you could call it an interactive film. You know, I just don't know if there's a word for these type of projects yet.
No, exactly. The only reason I call it a web series is because it's all on YouTube, and it's
exactly
using the interactivity that comes sort of like with YouTube, which is really nice.
Yes, definitely, we kind of designed it for the video annotations tool, which is how they call it, which is really fabulous. I mean, it's the possibilities that it gives you. We kind of wanted to take it all the way and see what we could do with it creatively, and not just like, you know, here's our next episode, watch the previous one, and subscribe, which is kind of the usual use for the video annotations tool. So it was kind of a challenge to use that very, very simple but powerful tool and see what we could do with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks fabulous. I mean, the navigation, I think it's really intriguing. But before we get to that point, let's step back and talk about what was the genesis of this project.
It started way back in 2010, and it actually started as a web series. The initial part of it was another project called Untitled Fiction Project. And it was an experiment on doing unscripted fiction as a web series. So I'm a director. I'm a writer and a director in Los Angeles. And I had been trying for quite a while to get a feature going. And I was just very annoyed that I wasn't directing as much as I wanted to. So I just it did also come from the need to just do something. And and so I knew this wonderful group of actors, so I kind of convinced them to come along with me in this bit of a crazy journey in the beginning, because the original idea for Untitled Fiction Project was to shoot every week and not know what happens next. So, for example, episode one in Fiction Project, you know, I had two actors and we kind of developed a very simple storyline, an affair. And then we just showed up and developed the dialogue and the story pretty much as we shot it. So it was a challenge for me as a director and a writer to not prepare and trust the process and see what would come out of the process. We did 13 episodes like that where we would shoot with the actors. I would edit. I would post it online. I would kind of look at the reactions. Would meet with my actors again and then kind of continue the storyline. And it kind of grew from there. So that's kind of how it started. It kind of started by accident, I guess. But it was a very, very fun process. It ended in early 2011, which is when I had to go into pre-production with my feature. So we were kind of planning to keep going. But because I was interrupted because of the feature, when I retook the project basically last year, last summer, then we decided to add another twist on top of the unscripted element, which was the interactivity.
Okay, and so that journey on the first first project, the Untitled Fiction project, did you like, was that a satisfying creative process for you? Did you think that it worked?
It was very one of the challenges also was kind of to put up to kind of develop product content in the product and not have the typical years that sometimes it takes in development. So it was
Right.
very satisfying for me, especially at the time, because of my experience with the features that took so long to get made. It was extremely satisfying to be able to do these very quick turnarounds and also and establish also a conversation with a little audience that we started to build back then. And it was very satisfying just to kind of not plan too much and kind of create a story and kind of see where it took you. It was extremely satisfying.
And did you know, so say for example, you're coming to the location or to the set for the next, for that day's shoot, you already sort of know what objectives you want to get out of that scene, like what where it fits in the whole sort of story arc.
Exactly. I mean, we do have to do a little planning because if not, how are you going to choose the location and how are you going to know which cast members show up that day? So there is something you have to do. In the original In Fiction project, what we would do is we'd meet for coffee just with my actors, and we would kind of figure out what we wanted from the next episode, and then we would do it. And then I would, all the locations were friends, friends that we knew that gave up their home in a weekend or a night or during the day, and so it was pretty much a no budget, but lots of fun and a situation. So yeah, we would do a little bit of planning, as in just like what we wanted from it. But we would purposely not write anything else, just so it could, we could develop it in the moment on the day we shot.
Okay, so now we fast forward to Untitled Murder Project 2.0. How did you begin to work on this sort of concept?
I love the idea of interactivity. I think film is getting a bit stagnant in the, especially like in the format itself. I
Right.
see all these wonderful opportunities. It's almost like the internet came along and it's this amazing tool, and I don't feel it's getting used to its potential yet. And so I was very interested in new ways to tell stories, and especially with feature film and TV, what can you do with these formats that and kind of bring them to the 21st century. They're very old formats, and it's just kind of amazing to me that the internet came along and gave you these tools and is still kind of kind of trying to catch up. So I was very interested in trying something out. Especially the interactivity. I like the idea of involving the audience somehow. Not necessarily in doing choose your own adventure, but still have it be a little more immersive than just sit back and watch. And what I came up with was this kind of middle ground where you don't really choose the ending, but you choose how you're going to get there. You choose your
Yeah.
path. And it's something that I was very interested in, and same kind of thing like in the beginning, like I needed to direct something, so I got actors together.
Yeah.
So in this one, I just needed to try it out. I was kind of tired of trying to explain it to some people. Sometimes I found it's just easier just to go out and do it, and then you can say, "Oh, there it is. Check it out." That's what I'm talking about. So it kind of happened like that. It was stubbornness on my part, and then it became this kind of project that got a little bit out of hand. It grew a little, maybe too big, but.
Because what I love about it is that it's when people often talk about interactive video, they immediately start thinking of a branching narrative.
Yes.
But what you've done, it's I, as a viewer, I've got quite a lot of autonomy for how I explore this story, and I don't, and I found myself, Yeah, like I really loved the freedom. I found it very engaging because I could, like, go back and look. I was kind of looking at the thumbnails actually, and thinking, I want to know more about her. Or I want, because I was trying to like shortcut to the answer, you know. And then I just found it really, really interesting. And I thought that the trailer really sucked me in a really good way. I thought it's one of the best trailers because it presents me at the end with, like, decisions, with choices that I can go into.
Yes.
So how did you do that? So we should say to people, once let's say you could land on this in any particular way. I could take any one of these videos and send it to a friend and say, oh, you've got to watch this. It's really funny. It's really cool, rather. So they watch it and they get to the end. And now it says, well, you can watch one of these three episodes from like a few weeks ago, some episodes from a few hours ago, or right now. So I'm kind of deciding how tightly I want to zoom in on that moment.
Exactly.
And how did you come to this?
It was thought. I mean, it was really funny because I actually went back a few weeks ago to look at the original notes for how we came up with with the storyline and how we divided it up. And it's pretty, I have to say, for once, it's pretty close to what I had envisioned. We organized it in five chapters. The first chapter is the original 13 episodes of Fiction Project, which all play in. It's part of the same storyline. And then the following four chapters are the new ones. And each one of them has those three timelines, the right now, the hours ago, and the chapters ago. So it was organized the idea is that each chapter kind of places the blame in a different character. How to organize the chapters, that's kind of what I was thinking and the reasoning. And I like also the idea, like you said, that you could, you know, you had this choice to be make, you know, you kind of have to, I think when you're faced with that decision, you have to be a little strategic. You know, you're almost like, which one should I go first? You know, almost trying to maximize your own fun in enjoying, you know, in your own enjoyment of the story. And that's kind of what was the original idea. And that was one thing that I was very happy that I was able to pull off, was kind of how to organize those things. The challenge was it for it not to be too complicated. I think for some people, it still may be a little daunting to be faced with that many options. Cause I mean, you're right. You can fall into any episode and have the option of watching 48 other episodes, you know, you know, the nine that are in that particular chapter, and then you can go forward or backwards, you know. So it was a challenge to kind of take something that was complex, you know, as the idea, and still try to figure out to make it not be too daunting for the viewer. An interesting process.
So with just thinking, if we take like one chapter,
right?
So you know, like what the focus is and what's got to come out of that. How did you write it? Did you write it sort of as a right now scene and an hours ago scene, or was it, you know, did you decide that in post? You just shot a load of stuff.
It was actually exactly what was planned. And I kind of I wrote it for chapters. At first, you know, I had probably just like a bunch of notes, like all these episodes that I knew I wanted. And then when I started organizing it, I kind of wrote it non-linearly as well.
Right.
I actually like, instead of, for example, using like a program like Final Draft, where you write one scene after another, which is the way I usually write, you know, screenplays. I use the program called Scrivener. I don't know if you're familiar with Scrivener, but
yes.
it's awesome because it lets you mix and match. You know, you can, you know, the scenes are not tied to a particular order. You know, you can write a scene and then it can go in whatever order you want. So I still wasn't writing a screenplay. I was doing like little log lines, you know, what should happen each episode. You know, they were probably around, you know, maybe a paragraph max. And then, you know, when I had a bunch of these, then I kind of started organizing them and then looking, you know, I came up with the conclusion that I needed chapters and there were going to be four new chapters. And that I wanted nine videos in each chapter and three timelines. So once I kind of figured out that was the structure, then I kind of finished planning out for everything to fit that, you know, to make sure I had three of each, and that it all worked and made sense, you know, dramatically.
It's really nice. I think it's really good. And how did you, so like on the bottom of the screen, you can actually see almost like the navigation.
All right.
Yeah. How did you arrive at that?
I mean, that I basically just completely stole from video games. And I love, you know, sometimes when lots of video games, especially when you have a lot of levels, you know, in games, you need a way to kind of find, you know, kind of, you know, make sure you know where you are. And that's actually one thing that wasn't originally in the plan that I figured out, like, in the testing, that some people definitely kind of felt lost. You know, you could choose any of the 9 episodes and you can go forwards or backwards, but you didn't really know where you were in the overall story. So that was a bit of an afterthought to kind of address that issue, to make sure you could, you know, just look and see, oh, I'm right here. And so it was something I'd seen done in video games. So I figured it could work for this as well.
Yeah, it's really good. I think the navigation is kind of like part of the fun of exploring this world, because you know how far forward, you know, you kind of get an idea of how far into the story I am or how far back I am.
Exactly.
So I think it's really good. And how did you organize the shoot?
You know what? It was shot very, I guess, traditionally, in the sense, you know, most film shoots are already, you know, nonlinear because you are shooting out of order, because you're shooting, you know, because of locations and actors' availability usually. So it's all, you know, any given film shoot's already gonna kind of be all over the place like that. So actors, you know, they have to kind of know, you know, the whole story. So because you can shoot things so out of order, it's very annoying. But the first time around in Fiction Project, we didn't do that because it was completely in order, because we actually didn't know what was going to happen next. And this one, since we had you know, many more cast members, you know, in the original one, I had maximum 2 people, I think, in each scene. And this one, we have up to 8. I mean, it really is an ensemble cast. So it needed to be planned a little more. That's why we did, you know, I did figure out, you know, pretty much like episode log lines for the whole thing. And then we had to shoot it same way we'd shoot a feature, around location availabilities and actor availability. So it ended up being, you know, we kind of did shoot, you know, completely out of order. But it wasn't, that part of it wasn't any, I mean, I guess if you probably walked in and looked at what we were doing, it wouldn't have looked any different than any other film, apart from the fact that it was unscripted and that we were, you know, developing, you know, the dialogue as we went along.
This murder project was unscripted as well.
It was. I mean, I did, like I said, I did have to structure it out. I had to. There was no way we could do that without that, because it is so complex in the whole interactivity and you know, and all the timelines and all that. But same thing. I did not write dialogue, and obviously the actors did have to have a sense of where the story was going. So you know that we all were on the same page as to where the story was going, what was happening, what should happen in this particular episode that we were shooting. But we were developing the dialogue as we went.
And did it matter to the actors to know if it was interactive or not?
You know, I don't think they really saw that part of it. You know, I did use a lot of the same ones from the first go around with Fiction Project, so they knew this way of working. They knew how I worked with the whole unscripted aspect of it. So I don't think it's. I think when they looked at the, you know, if you could call it the script, you know, basically the story outline with all the chapters and all that. You know, there were some questions back then, but. For them, you know, they were more interested in figuring out what was the chronological order so they could understand their characters, their arc. So they very much needed to – I think actually what I gave to them was the chronological version. So it wouldn't be, you know, that crazy, you know, because for them, I mean, they have to be the character, so they need to understand what happened before and what happened next. I'm the one that has to keep, you know, in my head, you know, I don't want to reveal this information in this chapter. I want to wait for the, you know, 2 chapters from now or something like that. So it shouldn't be in this scene. So for them, I think it wasn't that big a deal. You know, it felt probably, you know, similar to other things they've done.
Yeah. Okay. And when you say, so you said there was 8 actors, 8 cast in this, was it important to have an ensemble cast, or is that just something that came out through the creative process?
Well, the idea for the original one, the original one, Fiction Project, I didn't want that because I, and rightly so, I thought it was going to be completely, you know, crazy to do an unscripted project and have too many actors. How do you even deal with that? So yeah. So the original idea was actually, I think before it was called Fiction Project, I called it Two People in a Room. That was kind of like the original idea because I just wanted two people in a room and then we come up with a story. For this next one though, for Murder Project, I kind of wanted to use some of those, you know, old school, you know, dinner party murder mysteries, you know.
Yeah.
So the original idea was a dinner party murder mystery that we kind of adapted, you know, to LA, and we made it a brunch. So that was kind of the you know, it was a murder brunch.
It's good. It totally works.
Yeah. So they're all drinking, whatever, all those mimosas and things like that, and Bloody Marys, and having smoked salmon, you know. but the original idea, yeah, it was kind of this, you know, to have a good murder mystery, you have to think that a lot of different people could have done it. So obviously, if I had, you know, only three characters, it wouldn't have been as fun. You know, if I have a big cast and everybody has a reason to kill this person, then I think, you know, then we're getting to some more fun. Even though it did make, you know, the whole unscripted, you know, nature of it, you know, it did complicate that. It was tricky. It was tricky with the big scenes. But since we, most of us, you know, we knew each other, I had worked with them, you know, I think that made it magical.
Because, everything about it is like, says quality. I mean, the acting is good, the cinematography and everything. It's really put together. How many people did you have on the crew? Or was it just you?
Yeah, it was just me. And it was a conscious choice. After the first one, I definitely, you know, Fiction Project, I just wanted it to be just me. That was another part of the challenge. And because I thought, since it was unscripted, there was going to be a lot of downtime, and it was just going to be like, you know, I could have called a lot of, you know, friends to help me out, you know, in a lot of areas. It probably would have looked a lot better, but usually in film shoots, it's things are, should be very efficient. You know,
yeah.
you come in, you have a plan, you know what you're shooting, you know what the actors are saying, you know what they're wearing, you know what props they need. And for this project, we had none of that, you know? So I definitely when I do this again, I do want to have a bit of support, but the fact that there was no crew asking questions and it was just me and the actors ended up doing a lot, you know, helping out a lot. You know, they were my, my production designers and my art directors at a certain point to help me, you know, make the locations, you know, look better and things like that. But you know, we didn't have lights. There was absolutely no lights. It was just available lights and just me, the camera. You know, we had a little, you know, directional microphone on top of the camera. And, you know, the sound probably could have been better if I had a sound guy. But because we worked this particular way, I think I just decided this was the style. You know, we kind of called it a raw style. You know, very kind of like documentary, you know, that you would just kind of try to capture reality. And I was just trying to capture these performances.
Yeah, but it's a lot more lush than like a documentary. I mean, it feels like.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it feels like a TV drama type of.
That's cool.
Look.
All we did was, you know, just change some light bulbs sometimes and just, you know, watch your angles, you know.
It's really good.
Thank you.
So you've shot all the material and then you go into post. Right. How did you start to put it together? And you mentioned like this sort of testing period. Like what did that look like?
Well, it wasn't until very late because, I mean, it was we shot it. We started shooting in August of last year. The main shoot was in August. That's when we did the house, you know, where the brunch takes place. We shot for 2 weeks there, and then pretty much all the other locations we shot as we could get them. So I think we kept shooting through November of last year. From December, I guess I started editing. The editing process was very similar to you know, any traditional fiction, at least in and cutting each episode individually. That was very similar. It probably took a lot, you know, it was a bit slow because, you know, I have a day job and my movie was coming out. So it took longer maybe than if I would have devoted full time for it, but it was very similar process. The place where I think it really started, you know, showing how different, what different type of project is when I started putting together the, you know, the timelines and the user interface. You know,
right.
I think that's when I really started like trying to figure out, okay, is this actually going to work? Should we just cut it chronologically and release it as this, you know, web series? You know, is this actually going to work? So there was a lot of testing at that point to figure out how are these screens, how are these menus going to look, because they're so important. You know, that's the way you navigate the story. There's no episode one, you know, there's no first episode, there's no last episode. You know, basically the audience has to decide what, you know, what the journey is going to be. So it was super important to get that right. We went through a lot of drafts of this menu. And then we started, you know, when it was ready, when it was all, online, you know, we had, I must have uploaded the whole thing maybe 3 or 4 times, you know, and linked it up, you know, cause that, I guess that's how I tested it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have to change something in the menu because that wasn't working so right. Okay. It's not as easy. That's I think where maybe the fact that I did it more like a film, you know, where the menu was actually a graphic instead of something that I could go in and tweak for all of them. Like if, for example, if I would have done an app, any little change to apply it to all the episodes is actually a huge deal, you know, because you have to re-render every single thing.
And YouTube won't let you upload a video and replace the existing links.
No.
So you have had to redo all the links.
I actually figured out that kind of quickly because I knew that would have just killed me. I would have maybe given up. it is actually very tedious, you know, because you have to make every little square that's linkable, decide when it starts, when it ends, you know, link it up. You know, it's actually a very tedious process. So I figured out there's some awesome guy somewhere in the world came up with an application, you know, a web app to copy the XML file that gives you the links. And if your new video is the same exact length, if it's something it's just the graphics, then you can just basically copy it back on, you know, all the links and all that. So that was a huge time saver. Huge time saver.
Wow, that's really good. That's really helpful.
Yes, no, it was.
Like, what's been your strategy for getting the film out there? Like, are you trying to show it at festivals, for example, or how are you reaching out?
That always is the hardest part. That's my least favorite part, and that's the part that I'm trying, you know, always to get better on. I we released an indie film earlier this year, so we kind of knew kind of how the process was for that. This one was different in the sense that we didn't have we didn't have any known actors, you know. And even though it is kind of genre, it's a murder mystery, it's not like all out horror or anything like that. So we had some challenges in just like how to, you know, usually, you know, the reason you want, you know, some kind of name actors is, you know, because then people are just much more interested in reviewing it and checking it out. So I think it's going slow. We are getting, you know, a bit of traction, but that was my experience when the first series came out too, that, you know, usually it's very slow in the beginning. You know, it just takes a bit of time to kind of, for people to discover it and to decide to watch it. The fact that it's interactive, honestly, I'm not 100% sure if it's a plus or a minus for getting the word out right now, because it is so different that I think some people may be like a little like, what is it, you know? So in a sense, since there's not many projects like that, it is maybe a bit of a hurdle for people to just get into it and, you know, and not, you know, and see a menu after, you know, a piece of fiction and not be completely freaked out. But so far I'm actually very pleased. We've gotten some very, very interesting reactions and I think it's starting to grow.
Yeah, because I'm interested to know if anybody, like if you've had anybody react and say it's confusing or they can't be bothered.
We definitely did in the beginning, and we tweaked some things. I definitely tried to make the menu as understandable as possible, but still, you know, if you know, I had been looking at it for months, you know, So I knew how it worked. I mean, I did show it to people, and I get some comments. But definitely, when it's up online, and you get like all kinds of people watching something, you know, all kinds of age ranges and backgrounds. You know, what I tried to do was make it even easier. You know,
Right.
I think one thing that maybe threw some people off is that they didn't know they could make a choice. You know, because usually you're not faced with a choice in
Right.
fiction. You know, usually your choice is, do I want to keep watching? That's pretty much the choice, you know, that most viewers, I think, have been accustomed. Like, for example, even Netflix, where you actually have lots of choices, you know, you could say, you know, basically you watch something, you like it, and you can either, you know, oh shit, I'll watch the next one in the series, you know, see what happens. But the whole thing of trying to piece together the story yourself, you know, it does take a little more effort. And that is something that, you know, that maybe a lot of people are just not used to.
Okay. Yeah, because I think, because I can see it now. It says, you know, click on any episode to
Yeah.
start, view this. Like, it's really like a big shout out to, like, this is how you
Maybe it's
navigate
too
this
much. I mean,
space.
we're always trying stuff out, and we see what happens. Maybe I'll take those down at some point, but I did find that a lot of people, you know, I did get some responses that were a lot of people like, oh, cool, you know, I just have to click on something. And some people, I mean, I think a lot of people also know that YouTube has this annotations tool, but a lot of people don't also know that it's there. You know,
Oh,
actually, but it's some people don't know that they could click on the screen. You know, and I think if you are a YouTuber, you know, and if you spend a lot of time, you will know that. But if you're like a casual user, kind of like, I have to say, like, maybe my main demographic for this one, you know, was more like film people, you know, that
right.
do see it more as a standalone project than like a you know, like your typical, you know, web series. So it was, you know, for maybe some of the people that I was trying to go for, they're just not, you know, they're almost like, I didn't even know you could do that. So it's been
Yeah,
an
okay.
interesting process. I've learned a lot from, you know, definitely what to try out, you know, next time, and to help people ease into it.
Because I the one thing that I thought was a bit of a shame, and it's not to do with the thing, but it's more to do with YouTube. I was watching I wanted to watch the episodes on Chromecast.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I thought I'll get the interactivity because I'm on my mobile, but it doesn't bring up the interactivity there, which
No,
is
that's
annoying.
really unfortunate. I really, I mean, if you could do that with the mobile apps, you know, it would be, you know, is then your you know, your iPad would be the perfect remote control. You know,
Exactly, yeah.
you can actually, I mean, I have the Chromecast, and so you can do it when you hook it up to the computer. So you can hook up your laptop with the Chromecast, and then kind of, you know, use the computer to navigate.
Yeah, of
But
course.
it's still it's not the
Yeah.
same, you know. It's not the same, and I knew that coming in. We do, like, every episode does have like a text menu in the description, you know, for people who watch on mobiles, which I think is a lot now. Definitely, at some point we thought, you know, this could be an app at some point, but right, you know, our big thing with this one was just try it out, you know, try it out, see how it works, you know, kind of a proof of concept of a type of a story you could tell in this way.
It's really good. So, what did you think about doing anything in any other kind of interactivity? Maybe like bringing these characters to online on to life online with their own sort of website or blog or any kind of other secondary content that people could sort of dig in around these characters on screen.
Not for this particular one. At some point, I definitely want to try that. I mean, I actually love that kind of interaction. I guess the way we structured this one, the way it was made, is that it is kind of an archive feel to it, that you could watch it at any time, you know, in any order.
Yes.
And like what you mentioned, I think those things work really well. I want to try it at some point, but I feel, for some reason, for the types of stories that I do, that would work really well for stories that need to be watched at a particular time, you know, like more like a live type of thing.
Right.
And that's definitely something that, you know, most likely, maybe the next project we're going to try is something like that. You know, to try to get actually do people watch it a little more live, you know, have something interactive, but also have, you know, a lot of things that are happening at that same moment, and those tools are I think wonderful for creating that sense that it's happening right now. You know, to, for example, the tweets are going out as we speak, and you can watch this right now. And for some reason, that experience of the archive feel to that is not the same as, like, for example, getting a tweet from something that's happening in the show right at this minute. And that's what I at least the possibilities that that offers, I would, you know, I would love to try in a future project, definitely. But not for this particular one. We didn't really consider it. It was mostly it was already kind of, I guess, hard enough to put together what we did without trying to complicate our life further.
So what's next for you? Like, what's the next project?
I'm still very much involved in film. You know, we have a couple of feature projects that might happen. I'm actually very interested in mixing feature film with kind of interactive content, and that's we may have one project we can actually try that out, which would be amazing. And then but you know, feature film, that's the thing with feature films, is you just never know when it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
so these kind of projects kind of always keep me going. I definitely have a next project that I want to try out with in this, you know, the kind of interactive type of project that we're working on. Hopefully, by some point next year we'll get it going.
Really good, because I think what you've got here is like a quite a nice format, you know, that you could actually see somebody else emulating.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things, especially with interactive projects, that one of the things I've run into is that if you know, I've seen some examples, some, you know, some good, some not so good, but I think if you know what you can do with it, you kind of see the possibilities.
Yeah.
But until I think you know, most people, though, since there is no format, there's no real format. It's not, you can say, oh, it has to be between, you know, 90 minutes and, you know, 2 hours or whatever. No, it's, you know, feature film, TV, they have very set formats. Even a web series now, you know, I guess you kind of could say it's a format now. But the interactive project, since there is that complete lack of, you know, of a format, you know, I think it would help to try to kind of, you know, figure what can work. You know, for example, how long are people, you know, want to watch something that's like this? Our bet on this one was that we're going to try to make it feature length, you know, depending on how many episodes you watch. And if you watch them all the way through, this could be between an hour and a half and 3 hours. So it is. It doesn't have a set time length, right? How long is it? Well, I mean, I can tell you how long all the episodes are together, but I really doubt most people watch it like that. And that's kind of the whole point, you know. It's not really, you know, with these, you can't be as precious as you are with film and expect everybody to watch everything, you know. You kind of give people options, I'd love to keep working on other types of formats, because the possibilities are really endless, but that also makes it confusing for the general public. You know, I think at some point you have to kind of come up with formats that you can replicate.
Yeah, well, I think it's about just people experience. Like, so now I've experienced this.
Right.
Next time I see one that's similar to this, I go, oh, I know, I get it. It's just like that Untitled Murder Project.
Right.
I played before.
That's true.
And then, like, people don't go through that learning curve the second time around, because they're already familiar with it. And I kind of feel like this, it reminds me of something like an agency might do for like a branded execution for like a client.
Right.
Because there is the engagement there. It's definitely engaging, because I've got such an autonomy to go through, and I can just, the thumbnails I found to be really important for deciding where I navigate to next. Because I remember at one point I just wanted to try to find a sex scene.
Right.
I knew that something had happened between these two characters, and I wanted to go back in time to find out, you know, to see them get it on and find out what happened at that moment. Because I felt like that was going to reveal something about
right,
it.
Right, right.
And so that's incredibly engaging.
Right.
I think it's really good.
No, it's got a little bit for everyone, you know. And it is, I mean, we have found also that, you know, we didn't make it. I mean, I guess if you had to rate this would probably be an R, right, for sexual content and, you know, the language and all that. And, you know, and that's another thing I found out. I don't know if YouTube is the best for that type of thing, just, you know. You know, I think we are finding the group of people who don't mind watching it, but you know, there's also always also some people, you know, TV, I guess you know what you're getting. YouTube, sometimes you don't. But you know, it's been cool that we didn't have some of those restrictions and we could just kind of do what we wanted. We didn't go as far as nudity or anything like that, but we tried to push the line a little there.
Yeah, no, it's really good. So, Alonso, that's pretty much our time up. Where can people come find you online?
The best place to find Murder Project is, you know, on YouTube. just YouTube, Untitled Murder Project, and it should come right up. Our channel is actually a production company. It's Unlinear TV. So youtube.com/UnlinearTV. And Unlinear is our handle in Facebook and Twitter, and our website is unlinear.tv. And any of those ways you can fall into our universe.
That's fabulous. Thanks very much, Alonso. I'm really excited to see the next interactive project.
Awesome. Thank you, Robert.